Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. Third hour, final hour of our week. Busy third hour. We'll have Kayla Anderson of WKRN just a couple of seconds from now. Mike Keith will join us in the next second. We've already had Wesley Woodyard. If you missed any part of this show, podcast it, man. Have some fun with us. J. Yeah. Martin Ramon, wherever you get your podcast, consume us however you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, as often as you want. Mm-hmm. Relive the ratchet.
Come go
embrace
with us.
Embrace the petty.
Yeah, Wes had a really good segment, by the way, if you missed
it. It was absolutely outstanding.
Yes.
And somebody tweeted this. I think Jeff Ranger tweeted us this and said, hire him to coach the linebackers.
Yeah.
I actually was thinking when I was listening to him, I'm like, Wes would be a hell of a coach.
I told you, he's a very smart guy. He knows
defense. We talked about that off air. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it's some guys. Like, and he brought it up at the top of the hour, too, as far as UT and just, like, their coaching search. Like, some young guys deserve that opportunity when given.
He mentioned T. He mentioned Gerard Mayo, yes, who the Eagles are looking at. He also mentioned Black Rob.
Rob Ayers.
Mentioned Robert Ayers, who really wants to do it and who's trying to build himself up on the high school level right now.
You
got to
get people that want to be there. And that's the point, especially when the guy called in on Vol calls. It's like, when are you going back to Alabama? You remember that one? That's what we don't want to
do. No, I forgot that.
Nah, you remember that one.
You're dropping on the list right now. I need some things in my life.
I swear.
Y'all are dropping on the list.
When I see Margo, she's not getting a treat because she's above me and Schaefer on the list of your important people. I know that much.
You know who else is on the list?
Who?
Kayla Anderson.
Dog.
I
can't.
Auntie Kayla joins us.
She should be on the list above us.
She should be on the list.
Let's be real.
She's not quite as ratchet as the two of you.
We got to ask her if Schaefer and I deserve to be above Margo first. That's the first question I got for her.
Listen, Kayla, I said that I only needed a few things in my life. I needed the Lord. I needed my coffee in my pretentious way. And I needed my wife and dog. And they're taking a front to it because they feel like they should be higher on that list. And I don't really know where they fall on that
only
list.
Only higher than the dog.
Oh, man. Are you serious? Because without them, they would not keep you grounded. And then, you know, you wouldn't even get your coffee in the morning to get up to do the show.
See what I'm saying? Kayla, ride with the boys, okay?
All right.
Wow. You ain't wrong. That's for sure right now. The dog, Kayla, above the magician behind the glass.
He's picking something that eats poop above his ride or die.
I will say this, though. I got two dogs, and those boys are like, I wake up, and if I didn't have them next to me waking up, I mean, I don't know. The dog is everything.
Okay. All right. I get that.
I'll give him credit for that.
I mean, you've got Zeus.
Yeah, Zeus.
Zeus is higher on the list than me.
If Zeus keep digging in my flower beds, Zeus gonna look. He's just started digging out of nowhere, Kayla. Pet owners, have you had that issue? Dog is 6 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
Decides that he's gonna start digging in flower beds.
Sure, they have a mind of their own. I've got a 10-year-old Chesapeake Bay. He's probably 125, weighs more than me. He just tears up everything, and he's 10 years old.
See.
So he eats paper towels. He can't leave paper towels out.
Well, that happens to me. Margo's doing that at not even 1 year old.
See, these dogs got a soft spot, but I'm telling you, it's hard streets out here. If Zeus is listening, streets is rough and it's cold out here, man. You better get your act together.
Speaking of cold, the ice. Kayla, how excited are you that hockey's back?
Yeah, I think I talked to you about this when I chatted with you guys a while back, and by the way, it seems like forever.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Northwest, back in Washington State. My brother played hockey since he was 3 years old. on a traveling team. So I pretty much have like been around hockey my whole life. So I'm super excited to see the NHL back, specifically the Preds, because you guys, it had been since early August that they played in a game. And they hadn't played in a home game since March 5th. So I think it was just good to have some sense of another sport back here in town, especially with the Titans wrapping up their season.
And that's where I was going with you, too. How does it feel being able to have teams here that people want to support and actually see them perform and also perform well, especially with them opening up the opening game at home with a win? Like, that means a lot to the city in a small context. But again, like you said, professionals want to play. Guys want to be out there on that ice, on the field, whatever you want to be at. Just that feeling of what it did for you last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're blessed here in Nashville to have the professional teams that we have, right? I mean, now we have MLS as well. So it's great as radio personalities, TV personalities, writers here, because we go from one sport right into the other. But for these players, I can't imagine just how it felt to get out on the ice last night and actually compete in a game, because they really didn't even have a ramp-up period. They had less than 2 weeks to get ready for the season with training camp. They had no preseason games, guys. And what I like about this Predators team that I saw from the get-go last night is they had a mission and have a mission to try to change that identity, to get back to a gritty, kind of hardworking team that they got away from after that run in the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs. And so I saw that on the ice last night. And they were playing against a Columbus Blue Jackets team, by the way, who I covered for 3 years in Columbus, who is also very blue-collared, hardworking under their head coach, John Tortorella. They don't give much on the ice. So for the Predators to get a win, first of all, but to get it against a team like Columbus is going to really say a lot about how they start their season off on the right foot. And for the city of Nashville, obviously doing a lot last night, recognizing those six responders that responded during that Christmas Day bombing. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, well, so they get the win. They get three goals. They don't score on the power play, which just is going to lead to eye rolls all across Nashville right now. But when you win, it's a little bit easier to take. What you were saying about getting back to the gritty mentality, one thing that I have felt about the Predators over the last few years is after they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, they seem to behave in a very entitled way. Like this was just going to be the way it was going to be for them. From that point out, they were going to be perennially, not just in the playoffs, but they were going to be making deep runs. The next step was going to be actually hoisting the cup. And then it just has not worked out that way. This team looks a little different than those teams. A couple of new faces, some guys that are no longer here. It does feel like that entitlement surrounding them, just based on some of the articles that I've read over the past few months, it seems to be gone. Like, this team understands it's going to take work in order to get where they want to go.
I love that you bring up that point. I was not here in 2017. I came the season after, but I, of course, followed the run. I watched the final. And you did see that first season when I came in, that attitude of, you know, we're going to go all the way this next year, too. And we don't have to work for it as hard. And I'm not saying those are the words that came out of these players' mouths, but I could see it just with how they were in interviews. We were around the team all the time back when things were normal. And you could tell that the locker room just had a kind of an arrogance about it. And yeah, they had some really talented players, but you know, this was when PK Subban was here too, but they weren't getting it done on the ice. And they weren't getting to the next level. They were almost digressing each year. And they had kept that core, which you would think would have gotten it done, but just didn't. And that's what led to the eventual coaching change, which, by the way, I think was great. I think it's good to change things up, especially when things are getting stale. And bringing John Hines in was a great idea. From everything I've seen with him, he's a teacher. He does things in a different way because he knows he has to kind of start from the ground up. And they did. They brought in some new players. They brought in some players that are just gritty. I mean, if you just kind of look at these guys, Mark Borowiecki on defense, I mean, the guy's missing his full front grill. I mean, these guys are gritty players. I mean, you got a guy like Nick Cousins, who we've seen early on, seen a lot out of him. Luke Cunningham, who got a goal last night. A name you probably don't know of, but I think it's going to be a big contributor, who was on that second line last night. So, guys, I really like the shift of this team. We might not know as many of these players. They might not get a lot of pub in the beginning, but they know they're going to have to work for it. And nobody's job is safe. They've got that taxi squad now where they can bring up players if needed because of the COVID-19 situation this season. And Colton Sisson said it best. He said, we have to battle for our jobs every night.
Just as a whole, you know, it's a new coaching staff, new regime right now going on. What's in your mind with taking new steps this year with this team? What's the end goal at the end of the season? Say, hey, this was successful. This is what we wanted to be at. Is it playoffs? Is it a little bit further, first, second round? Where is the mindset of the Preds moving forward?
Yeah, I think the mindset right now is just let's make sure that we have 100% bought into what we're preaching. Yeah. And I think Hines said it best. He said, we can't just come out here and say we're going to do all this stuff and then we don't get behind it. Clearly, we have seen this in the first game, a team game. We've seen everything that they've been preaching, but it needs to be at a consistent level. So I think for these guys, especially in a shortened 56-game season, they need to just focus on winning each game. And I know that's coach speak, but at the same time, that's all you can do right now. But I think a realistic goal for these guys, if they continue to do that, is to get to the playoffs, is to get a little bit deeper than the first round. If things do go right, because you guys, they have the talent. Mm-hmm. First of all, they have two goalies in UC Saros and Pecorine that they're going to need this season. That's a one-up on a lot of teams that don't have a solid backup. And right now, yes, I am considering Pecorine the backup. But they're going to play him like a 1A, 1B situation with the shortened season. Then they got that top line. It's both a line that has really started things off well. Philip Forsberg is a really true, unique talent. We saw it last night with that goal. He needs to contain that kind of success and make sure he's doing it night in and night out. Defensively, you know, we saw them last night play hard, so I think they have the tools to make it work, but they have to buy in and it has to be somewhat consistent.
Kayla, we appreciate it. Absolutely. We'll be talking to you a lot during the season, not just about the Preds. We didn't even get to the Titans. I guess we'll save that for Mike Keith since he's coming up next. It's all good. No. Look, hockey season is off. We know you're excited about it.
Yeah, don't apologize because you might run. You might go lower on Jason's list also. It's all good.
I appreciate it.
Oh, good Lord. The level of petty on this program is completely out of control. Kayla, have a good weekend. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you. That's Kayla Anderson, WKRN. Moan,
what
get out of your feelings, KD. Get out of your feelings, bro.
I'll put it all on social media and everything.
I know,
man.
People are doing it, too. Like, people are sending stuff back, saying that you guys are going to record a diss track about me in response to this.
The man behind the board is already getting our instrumental together. Shay.
No, it's not going to be an instrumental. You guys are going to script that thing out. You aren't smart enough to do it ad-lib. Nah, two of y'all together, man.
This really pisses me off.
Freestyle kings around here.
Put half a brain behind my back to keep it fair.
You know what? I'll tell you who's hanging off the roof later on today. Jason Martin.
Mike Keith's
by
next.
His feet.
J. Martin Ramon.
By his feet.
Hey.
Absolutely. Doing it. We're doing it again.
J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. On Twitter, @ J. Martin Ramon. Don't you dare interrupt me again on 104.
Zip it. Take that.
Welcome back, J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. Hope you're well. Our final show of the week. Thanks to Kayla Anderson. Thanks to Wesley Woodyard. That was a great conversation in the second hour. If you missed that, podcast it.
Mm-hmm.
Just awesome kind of breaking down the defense and kind of what went wrong this year and what could maybe go right in the future. Terrell Alston out there.
Yeah.
That information was there. We talked about that earlier in the show as well. We bring in the VOT, voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith, to help postmortem the season a little bit as well. Mike, how are you today?
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, we were hoping we were going to be breaking down a divisional game, and I guess we still could, but we knew it was going to be tough. Those guys are really good. They proved it on Sunday, did a little bit more than the Titans did, but now that you've had about a week to process or 5 days to process it, what are your sort of takeaways, your observations from that wild card loss?
It was a bad matchup for us at this point in the season because of how beat up our offensive line was. You know, one of the things that had been brought up, and Dave McGinnis brought it up to me on multiple occasions as we were watching practice or going through anything. And a lot of his explanation for why they were doing certain things, he goes, remember, this team hasn't had a bye. Our bye came in week four, and it really wasn't a bye, if you'll remember, because of all the COVID stuff. And so how they had to practice and how they kind of handled everything had to be based somewhat on the physical condition of the team. And Vrabel, I think, read that really well. You know, he did not ride this team down the stretch because he was trying to keep them as healthy as possible. But had we had a week 10 bye, you know, would we have been in a place where Dennis Kelly could have taken a week to heal? Yeah. Roger Saffold could have taken a week to heal. Ben Jones could have taken a week to heal. Those were the sorts of things I worried about in this matchup, because those guys, the Ravens, have the people, without doing anything scheme-wise, to harass any offensive line at any point, let alone one that is beat up. It worried me. You know, it worried me going in because of Ngakoue and Williams and Calais Campbell and things like that. And I think in the end, you saw them be able to take advantage of where we were at this point in the year. The Titans defense did fine. I mean, you tell me going in, the Ravens are only going to score 20 points. I'm okay with that. Lamar Jackson certainly made a difference in the ball game, but offensively, it was going to be hard to get anything started because they didn't have to scheme. They didn't have to play crazy. They didn't have to play nine defensive backs or eight defensive linemen. They could just line up and play us. And that's what they were able to do.
Speaking of just the offensive scheme, there's a lot, of course, it's the end of the season, so you get a chance to evaluate yourself. But there's two significant positions that we would think need to be filled for sure offensively. Let's just start with that one. What do we expect in-house out of, you know, somebody on the open market pulling somebody from another team? There's a good nucleus of what's going to work for this team offensively. You got Derrick Henry, you got Ryan Tannehill, and for sure, you got AJ. What's the, I guess, the temperature of what needs to be moving forward?
Well, I mean, you've said it. You've got the quarterback, you've got the best running back in the NFL, and you've got one of the best young wide receivers. They're all under contract. Two of them are not cheap, but they are certainly reasonable market contracts that John Robinson negotiated, which I think good for the player because they get a bunch of money, but also good for the team in terms of what the market is. And then you drafted A.J. Brown in the second round, and he's going into his third year. You know, at some point in life, he's really getting paid. But right now, he's still on the rookie contract. So you feel good about that. Taylor Lewan is due to come back. That was a huge factor in this ball game the other day, which showed up on a couple of occasions during the course of the season, but I think showed up last Sunday. So at that point, you understand kind of where you're at. The tight end position is one where you have three guys who are not under contract. And in terms of Firkser, I think he's an exclusive rights free agent. So he's under contract. So the position where you've probably got to make some decisions is going to have to be at tight end first and foremost. How are you going to invest that money? The first thing that may affect that, however, is what this salary cap ends up being. And at this point, we don't know. You're assuming the worst, that it drops to $175 million, but the hope is that it does not drop that much, that maybe the 17th game boosts it, that maybe ownership and the Players Association works out something that boosts it some more. Because for teams like the Titans, veteran clubs, that's going to have a big impact on whatever decision you make.
I was reading Bill Barnwell's article, Mike, at ESPN about the playoff teams, including the Titans, and the kind of personnel decisions they're going to have to make in terms of their roster because of, we don't know the salary cap like you just said, but right. The way he laid it out, looking at the wide receiver market, we had talked earlier this week that Spotrac had said, you know, 2 years for Corey's probably going to cost you 18 or 19 mil. Barnwell's saying Titans better be ready to pay 11 million a year to try and maintain Corey. And that led to a point about, you probably are going to have to make a decision between Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. All the tight ends, we know the tight end situation. You just talked about it. But if do you think it is that simple, or are there is there some math equation we're not aware of to where somehow maybe you could keep both those guys?
Well, I think a couple math equations are involved. And excuse me, one involves the overall number. You know, if that number goes to 195, then obviously you have more wiggle room. You know, there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think is going to be interesting is the majority of teams in this league have the same sorts of decisions that they're going to have to make. They have their own Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Jayon Brown, you know, types of decisions to make. And so that's going to put a lot of these guys into the market. And they can't all go play for Jacksonville and Indianapolis, who have $60, $70 million. I mean, they can't take them all. So I think what you're going to see is I think you're going to see some veterans, and I'm just talking about as a league-wide thing. I'm taking this more broadly than from the Titans' perspective. I think you're going to see some veterans who choose to take one-year deals to return to their teams with the idea that in 2022, when the cap to go up, that they're going to be able to cash in then, knowing that they know their coaches, they know their teams, they like where they live, they understand that the best scenario for them is where they are. Now, I would think some players will choose to take one-year deals and go other places because they feel like it's a better opportunity. But I think a lot of them will choose to stay. And I don't think Barnwell's numbers are necessarily wrong, but I just don't know that the market is going to be there in the way it is in a normal year. So I think this is going to be very unpredictable going forward, because I think 2021 in terms of free agency is going to be unusual. There'll be a rush. You know, the day free agency opens, there will be a rush. And, you know, Jacksonville will probably sign 12 guys, you know, and that'll happen. And then after the rush stops and sort of the merry-go-round, you know, sort of the musical chairs leave some guys without seats, then there'll be discussions about more reasonable prices to either go back to their teams on a one-year deal or pick another team where maybe they go with a first year for a certain amount of money and then a second year at a better option. I think you're going to see everything on the table.
Yeah, definitely that. And another thing that has to be on the table, of course, actually about offensively, what's in the plans, but defensive, Terrell Austin is the guy that's been thrown around as far as the defensive coordinator job. Is that going to be a position that needs to be filled, or will it be filled this offseason coming up? Because, again, the timeline speeds up really fast in January. We forget a little bit about it because of the playoffs, but the combine is assumed to be next month, and then the draft is shortly out of that, and player visits hopefully can get back to normal with teams being able to see prospects. So that's something that's got to be answered for, considering, you know, the stats that the Titans and ranking that the Titans defense gave up this year.
Mike Vrabel will want to have his direction in place as soon as he can.
Right.
I don't know what, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mike. I read the reports like you did yesterday. So I don't know what's what with that, but I do know Mike well enough to know he will have a direction quickly. I also know that Mike is about results, and he's not going to sit and talk with us about every statistic. He's not going to say, well, you know, there was this factored into third down defense that we didn't realize or whatever. He's bottom line guy. Mm-hmm. He knows and he understands that there are certain things that have to get better. And I can promise you that while he won't tell us what it is, he will have come up with what he wants to do about his direction as quickly as possible. Now, it may take a little while to sort that out, because I think we're getting ready to see a flurry of hires around the league. Robert Saleh going to the Jets is another domino to fall. And so then what's going to happen with his staff, you know, and these other coaching things that happen, you know, there's going to be some things that add some maneuverability into it for some coaches, some college jobs. You know, there may be some things that end up shaking with college jobs that produce opportunities for people. Mike will have his idea about direction very, very quickly, in my opinion.
And he's got some big choices to make. He's got a DC choice probably to make. He certainly looks like he's going to have an OC choice to make. It seems like Arthur Smith to the Falcons seems awfully likely, at least right now. The other thing's happening in this division is here comes Jacksonville. Here comes Jacksonville with a lot of money, and now there's going to be some cameras on him because not only is Trevor Lawrence going to be there, but Urban Meyer is going to be there as well. What do you think? I mean, we don't know what Urban Meyer is going to be in the pros, but what was your first reaction when you saw that deal done? It's going to be Urban and Trevor and a whole lot more attention paid to the Jaguars nationally and by proxy to the AFC South.
Great hire. I think it's a great hire. I mean, I know the guy's 187 and 32 as a college coach, and and that shouldn't matter. But Daniel Jeremiah said it yesterday, and I'm going to totally give him credit. I think it is. It feels like something akin to Jimmy Johnson to the Cowboys in 1989. That's what it feels like. It's a situation where you're going to get to pick your quarterback. It's a situation where he's going to have the say-so that he needs. It's a very good owner. The people around the league will tell you Shad Khan is the real thing as an owner. They actually have done a fantastic job with what they've done with this ball club and this organization over the last year. And that will surprise you. Okay, that will surprise you, me saying this. I think Doug Marrone did a good job with that team because they got rid of all the troublemakers, all the malcontents. They have gathered 11 draft picks, including 5 in the first 2 rounds. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence. They didn't go 4-12, which would have been the worst thing that could have happened to them. They went 1-15. They played hard and they played well all year. They found a running back from nothing. He was an undrafted. They've gotten a lot of pieces quietly in place, and they have $70 million worth of cap room. Here's the other thing, too. For a business model, for what Shad Khan wants to be, for the big thing that he wants to build in Jacksonville, the development, for the stadium that he wants there, for the ties that they have to London, for how he sees this franchise being, this is the type of move business-wise you need to make. So I don't know if he's paying Urban Meyer $12 million a year or not, but it feels like to me it's a fantastic move for a franchise that took some time to put some things in place. And I don't think he wanted to get rid of Doug Marrone from the standpoint that I don't think he felt like Doug Marrone did a bad job. I think he felt like given what he was given, he did a nice job, but he knew that they needed some sort of lift up in terms of for their fan base, for their business model, for their football model. And he went out and got the guy, the best guy. I mean, you figure if this is a movie, he just got Brad Pitt or George Clooney star in his movie. And for their face, that's exactly what they needed in Jacksonville for Khan's model overall.
Yeah. Just, you know, speaking of just a model, the Titans have gotten used to a certain thing also, and that's winning. That's winning big. That's they're getting name guys across this league, you know, as far as like AJ and Tannehill and Derrick Henry, like they're guys. Corey Davis is going to be we expect to be a nice free agent. They won the AFC South this year, hosted a playoff game. Just moving forward with the end of the season, what's expected for this team moving forward? If you can just give a soft projection of what's needed for the Titans as a team, as an organization, because there's a nice platform built right now.
Well, the problem you've got is Jacksonville, I think, will contend to be a playoff team next year. Remember, 7 teams get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, I don't think the 7th team in the playoffs this year, next year, I mean, will be 11-5. I think it'll be more like what the NFC was, where the number 7 team, the Bears, were 8-8. So bottom line is Jacksonville gets better. Indianapolis has $60 million in cap room. Because Andrew Luck went away, they were able to save a bunch of money, kind of redo what they did, and now they have $60 million. So they get tougher. Houston, is as long as Deshaun Watson is there, they're going to be a complete pain. So we have to take what we have as the Titans just to even stay where we are, and we have to reformulate in a different way. We have to take the pieces we're keeping and surround those pieces differently, move them around. Because here's where we are. We're not a young team. We're where we should be, having had five straight winning seasons, paying a quarterback, paying a running back. We've been here before, you know, and that was in the early 2000s. So in these situations, you have to formulate everything to not only take what you have and enhance it, but to fill in some different areas. It's going to be a challenging offseason for John Robinson with a puzzle, but I think he's the perfect guy to do this. And I'm excited to see how he's going to keep the Titans at this level with Mike Vrabel. And again, I think it's going to start with what they do with the coaching staff based on A, what Vrabel wants to do, and B, what they have to do with Arthur Smith probably getting the Falcons job.
Mike, you're the best, man.
Absolutely.
Just awesome stuff, like always. And you won't have to call the game this weekend, but enjoy watching the games. There's some good matchups, and certainly it's going to be fun to watch what happens with this Titans offseason.
Yeah, sure is. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have
Appreciate
a great week.
It. That's Mike Keith, the VOT, voice of the Tennessee Titans. No one better.
No.
Ever. And it's been awesome just having him all year like it is every single year. I know we got a phone call. Maybe we'll take a phone call in the final segment of the week. Haven't done that one before.
No, that's new.
Somebody wants you to bury the Browns, I think. Kind of like I buried y'all on my list.
You know what? It was funny. Now it's not.
Oh, hey. We'll be right back. Jay Martin, I'm on 104.5 The Zone.
Oh, man. Hey.
Show of the week. We're off on Monday for the holiday. We'll be back on Tuesday, and we're going to recap all. We're going to treat Tuesday like Monday. We'll recap divisional playoff weekend. Talk about who's going to be the next offensive coordinator for the Titans, because Smith ain't going to be there.
The moves are being made. Yeah, 100%.
Great conversations today, and Lee Smith, our celebrity DJ today. He's been responsible for all the bed music. He'll be on the field tomorrow with the Buffalo Bills, hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, buddy.
See, we're all Bills fans tomorrow.
Yes, we are. See if we get some traction out of University of Tennessee this weekend also.
Could be. Let's get to Karen, who waited during that last interview to ask you a question, Mo. Karen's in Nashville. Karen, what's up?
What's up, fam?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I am calling because I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio in the 80s. Which is 60 miles from Pittsburgh and 70 miles from Cleveland. So it is a melting pot of those fan bases. And on Sundays in the 80s, we were not allowed to talk to our Pittsburgh Steelers fans or neighbors. So ever since then, obviously since the move, the Browns have won very sporadically against the Steelers. And I'm wondering, I know you played through most of that, Ramon. I'm wondering if the rivalry stayed there, which I kind of doubt because Pittsburgh was just stomping them all the time. And then I wonder how much a playoff win helps rekindle that rivalry. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Karen, for that call. I'll say this. We used to view Cleveland, as you said, though, like it wasn't a rivalry.
That's what I said during the last, because I knew that she was going to ask that question. I was like, y'all don't see it that way, do you?
No, we never looked at them. It was always like, all right, let's make it out of this game healthy. That's all we needed it to be. Like,
that's why it's a rivalry for the Browns, though, because of what you just said, because the Browns are like,
the disrespect.
Browns are Will Smith in the living room.
Yeah.
Why don't he want me, man?
That's exactly what that is. But it used to be frustrating with them because we'd see them on film just laying down for other teams, but they played hard against us. So it was like, all right, let's just go ahead and get this out the way. That playoff win, though, may have just lit a fire. I'll say that much. I don't want it to be a Cincinnati circa 2005 type of deal, but it's going to be testy for a little while. And what was so frustrating about Cleveland was this, and I think every person that's a fan of football felt this way. You guys have sucked for a decade or more. that means you're getting a high draft pick every single year, and you can't find out a way to put it together so that it's your competing organization, that you're a competing football team, that you're not packing up your cars at the end of the year to go down to whatever vacation spot you want to. And now it seems like they have a guy in the position with Stefanski that's able to get them on to doing the right thing. So if they stay balanced up the way they are, Pittsburgh make the moves they're supposed to this offseason as far as coaching staff and whatever else they got going on, it could be really good, because I'll be honest, Cleveland is good. They got some good things about them. So rivalry, not yet. Cleveland may see it that way, but I don't think the guys in Pittsburgh do.
L.A. Green Bay, who you got tomorrow in the first game?
L.A. Green Bay? Green Bay.
It's the, basically the number one offense and number one defense playing against each other.
Yeah, it'll be – I still got Aaron Rodgers.
So
even
do
if,
I.
If they move Aaron Rodgers off his spot, which is what Aaron Donald can do – I mean, we see A-Rod being able to move around like
I would
that.
Just say it's not going to be a blowout. That'll probably be close.
It will be, simply because it's playoff ball.
Baltimore, Buffalo.
I got Buffalo.
I mean, I do, but I'm a little wary because the Ravens secondary is playing awfully well, and they've gotten healthy at the right time.
Yeah, Marcus Peters is also feast of famine. You know he's going to be aiming for Stephon Diggs this weekend, and he's either going to make a big play or make a big mistake. I still got Buffalo winning it.
Sunday, Cleveland, Kansas City.
KC. I'm not going to say what Chase Claypool said as far as them getting clapped. I do think that Cleveland plays a good game, position themselves in a good way. But overall, it's been a long time since Kansas City hadn't played. Andy Reid and Bieniemy have got to be drawing up a hell of a scheme for them. We saw what they did in the Super Bowl when they got an opportunity to have time to cultivate a plan.
I would just say this is a game where Baker tries to do too much because there's a lot of pressure against Patrick Mahomes and everything else that's going on. I think Mayfield's right for a couple of turnovers. Kansas City wins. Then Tampa Bay, New Orleans ought to be a really nice finish.
It's tough to pick, but I like playoff Brady. I'm going to be real.
Actually, so do I. I'm going with Tampa Bay on the road as well. I agree with you. We'll break it all down on Tuesday when we are back. We are off Monday for the holiday. Enjoy the extended weekend if you're going to be doing that. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the Midday 180. They're coming up next. They'll have more on Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Will he even still be the coordinator by the end of today? Falcons jobs out there for him to take officially via multiple reports. We'll see what happens. For Ramon Foster, for Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. We will see you on Tuesday.
And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic is always hot.
Stay petty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.